This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus continued, "See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in the synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. And when they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For I truly tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetop. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." The Holy Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated and continue with me in prayer. O God, we give you great thanks for this day. We acknowledge you and choose to be grateful for life, not to take for granted the very breath that's in our lungs that's yours, and to respond to you and your grace and kindness by worshiping you and by seeking to live lives that honor you and reflect the grace that you have given us. Oh Lord, would you make us courageous, make us emboldened, passionate for the things of you. And may that be true by your very power at work within us as we walk in step with you and release your Spirit within us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Good morning, as always. Excuse me, great to be here, as always, and to see your shiny faces. It's a great joy for me to open the scriptures, and this morning we're going to look at Romans 5, beginning with verse 15 all the way through 19. But before we get to that section, I want to start with asking a question or two. And as I do this, they're never meant to be rhetorical. They are meant for us to engage and to think deeply about and to set the tone for what I might say afterwards. And so here it is. For what have you been empowered? For what have you been empowered? You think about all the things in your life that you have been empowered for, and I wonder how long of a list that would be, and how you would rank them, and what you might put at the top. For what have you been empowered? And another way of asking the same question is, what are you doing with the authority that you've been given? What are you doing with it? Of course, I want you to know, I ask these same questions myself. I've spent all week in this text asking these questions, but I want to ask them now with you. What are we doing with the authority that we've been given? This question and the nature of it takes me back a few years, back to around 2005. I was on the staff of a very large mega church in Glendale, Arizona, up on the northwest side of Phoenix, around the 101 loop, if you know it. The church was called Community Church of Joy, and I had been hired as the associate pastor. It was my calling just prior to my coming here. And one of my responsibilities, many responsibilities, included men's ministry. And I remember in the season that I was there, I had been there long enough to call together a group of men for a retreat. And either by God's grace or my own folly, I decided to call the retreat Transcending the Sins of Adam. Sexy, right? Like everybody wants to go to that retreat. Transcending the Sins of Adam, the subtitle, Overcoming the Dual Temptations of Passivity and Blame. Now all the people who are in line for the title are out of line for the subtitle, but fortunately I had a lot of favor with a lot of the men in that church and a lot of the key lay leaders in the church, and by God's grace he allowed me to call together these men for this retreat. And we weren't trying to get every man there, but we were trying to get the ones there who knew that they were in a battle and they needed help transcending the sins of Adam in their life. They knew that passivity and blame were a thing for them, and they wanted to overcome them. These were men who were tempted in their various roles to abdicate and to shrink back and to not do that which was theirs to do by going passive and or blaming others. And so the goal of the retreat was pretty straightforward. I wanted to inspire, by God's grace at work within me, I wanted to inspire the men there to live into their God-given authority as husbands and as dads, and ultimately as followers of Christ, regardless of what season of life they were in, to help them to set aside space where God might do a new thing in our hearts to the end that we would live into our God-given authority. We looked at Genesis 3 in order to do that. And as a way of setting up Genesis 3, we looked briefly at Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, you see this scene where God is interacting with Adam, and Eve has not been created yet, according to this second account within the creation accounts. And so around verse 15, before the woman had been created, this is what we read. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. He had vocation. He had meaningful labor. And as an aside, on a different day, we talk about how work and labor is not a result of the curse. We were given good work to do prior to the fall. The fall brought about sweat on the brow and thorns and thistles, but work itself is intended to be good, and in new creation that's the case. I'm getting off topic. Let me get back to today's topic. He gave it to him to work and to keep it, and then notice what continues. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, before Eve is created, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Get to work, keep it, and don't eat that one. Fast forward with me to chapter 3, which is where the fall kicks in, and it was the focus, primary focus of the retreat, having set it up with chapter 2. This is what we read when we get to chapter 3, and by this point, Eve has been created, and the tempter, the liar, the Satan himself, has come to do his work in her heart. So we look in chapter 3, verse 6, and we saw that, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Most of us are familiar with this part of the story. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Get the picture? Satan is coming and tempting Eve, and Adam is with her. And he's the one who received the command. And the sin of Adam is passivity. He did nothing to defend her, to protect her, to stand in that gap, to say, oh no, you won't. The sin of Adam is passivity. He was there when she ate it. It's why when we get to Romans in a few seconds, we're going to see that Paul is referencing the sin that we've all inherited through Adam. Before we get to that, let's continue in chapter 3. We see when we get to chapter 3, verse 12, after God finds out what's happening here and they hide themselves and they're now in shame and there's this great division that's been created between them and their creator, and God seeks them out and finds Adam and says this: "How'd you know? Why'd you do that? How did things go so wrong so quickly?" Here's what Adam says: "The woman that you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." Can you envision a more pathetic scene in all of human history? The man who's created first, who by God's grace is blessed with this incredible helpmate, because it's not good for man to be alone. He has the command from God. She's the one that falls into sin because of his passivity by her side, and he's going to blame her. Today's ultimate teaching is not just for men, not just for husbands, not just for those for whom that teaching specifically applies, but I want to start there and then broaden with you to a place that involves all of us, men and women, boys and girls. And I'd like to do that by accomplishing this goal by God's kindness, that through this brief teaching this morning would be to inspire each of you, men and women, boys and girls, to live into your God-given authority as Spirit-filled children of God. Now keep Genesis 3 in mind with me as we continue, but in order to do that for all of us this morning with Genesis 3 as a setup, I want to now transition to Romans 5, beginning with verse 15. And I'm not going to read it word for word, but you have that section there, and it's about 6 verses or so through 19. That's where we're really dialing in today. And here's why I want to make the shift from Genesis 3 to Romans 5, because something altogether significant happened between Genesis 3 and Romans 5. Between the two books of the Bible, and that something that happened between the fall and Paul's letter to the church in Rome, that something has everything to do with our transcending the sins of Adam and overcoming the dual temptations of passivity and blame. And so let's look at it. Romans 5, verse 12 says it this way: "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one woman," sorry, it doesn't say that. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." It's pretty concise. But what he's saying is all of us, male and female, have inherited the sin of Adam. It's our very nature. It's what it means to be human. And the payoff for that inheritance is killing us. That's essentially what he's saying. To think of it differently, he's saying this: all of humanity is guilty by association through the unrighteous disobedience of Adam. And the consequence is that death reigns in us. But about that thing that happened since Genesis, the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father of Jesus Christ happened. That is, as Paul says in verse 17, "For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man." In other words, if that's how it worked, guilty by association because of Adam's sin, then thanks be to God, there's a great reversal that has happened since then. And that reversal is this, he goes on to say: "Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." It's incredible, God's wisdom, the mystery of his love. That is, that we are now justified by association. Not in our own strength, not because of anything we've done. Stop trying. We are justified by association through the righteous obedience of one man, Jesus. And the consequence of that is that we reign in life. Not we will reign in life. Not that, you know, by and by in this sky, sure some pie. No, not that. We reign in life is what the Apostle Paul says. That's the benefit. The benefit, what he's saying is the abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness, and the authority to reign in life. That's the whole point of Romans 5, certainly verses 12 through 21, but even beyond. It's the great reversal, as it were, that what had been true for all of humanity as a result of Adam's sin is now no longer the inheritance for those who are in Christ. Meaning, passivity and blame and all the rest of it, death and all of his friends, are no longer that which we inherit in Christ. And beloved, if you're here today and you have not placed your faith in Christ, you have not come into an allegiance with King Jesus, you have not been baptized, you haven't received the Spirit, like stop trying to do life apart from that. You needn't. And by God's grace, he's loved you so that you don't have to. And for those of us who have already stepped into that relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is saying to us this morning, we have, because of the abundance of grace and because of the free gift of righteousness, get it, the authority to reign in life. Meaning we are, those who are in Christ, having received the Spirit through faith in Christ at baptism. We're authorized. You wake up every morning knowing that you're authorized. You're licensed. You're permitted. You're sanctioned, commissioned, delegated, accredited, legitimized. Write them down if you need to. Hang them on your mirror. Make sure you know this is true. Speak the truth of who you are because of who God is and what he's done before us and for us over your life regularly. You're legitimized. You're certified, qualified. You're equipped and empowered. Does that describe your life? Because it's true. How many of us know something can be true and we don't necessarily live from that truth? Yep, there's a gap there. That's why I'm talking to you this morning, because I want you to close that gap with me, and I want you to help me close that gap in my own life between what's true about me and what my life reveals that I think is true about me. Let's close that gap this morning. And the thing that we're authorized to do and empowered to do is to reign in life. Not reign in life. To reign in life. That is, to take authority over temptation and sin. Over death. And all that comes with it. To overcome passivity. To overcome blame. To overcome victimhood. To overcome powerlessness. To overcome the lie that I'm destined for weakness and that life, therefore, is bound to happen to me. There was a time when I was a slave to sin, but I've been made a slave to God, a slave to righteousness because of the blood of Christ. I've been empowered. I've been given authority through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so have you, those of us who are in Christ. Victorious. I want to tell you a story from my childhood that helps me think more deeply about this. I hope it'll do the same for you as well, and to therefore live more from that truth and close the gap. When I was a kid, I was really, really into the Lone Ranger. I mean, who wasn't? The blue uniform, the white hat, the double drop gun belt and holsters. It was incredible. Did I mention the mask? Hi-ho, Silver, away. Who was that masked man? That man whose very presence brought fear to the lawless and hope to those who would live in frontier land. Who was he? And I got to tell you, I was so into it. I watched the show every time I could. I remember the time that I received as a gift the dolls and the horses. Lone Ranger and Tonto and Silver and Scout and all the accessories that went with it. I can still remember the little plastic rubberish sort of material that held the harness in, and just playing with it and then losing it and finding it and putting it back together again. But I'll tell you, playing with the set was nothing like the day that I went and made myself a mask. See, at that point, I wasn't just messing around. I wasn't just imagining other people's authority. I wasn't just imagining what it was like for other people to have the presence that brought fear to the lawless. Now I had the mask myself. And I went from playing with those who had authority to having it myself. That is, I had become deputized. I now had authority. I had agency. There was just one problem with it. I made myself the mask. I didn't have the authority to give to myself, and I was faking it and kidding, and no wonder life didn't work out very often the way that I thought it should, if in fact I had the authority that came with the mask, the mask's mandate. I made it for myself, and of course, it wasn't an actual mask that I'm now talking about, if you'll transition with me from the analogy and the story to the life itself. What I'm actually talking about is the difference between receiving the Holy Spirit at baptism and receiving the power that raised Christ from the dead, and then learning to live from that place of power and empowerment and authority versus just trying to fake it in my own strength. Make my own mask versus putting on the one that has been won for and given to me. That's what we're talking about. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that when we put on Christ, we have received grace in abundance, righteousness, not our own, but his, imputed to us. We have it for the purpose of reigning in life. And at this point, what became clear, as I thought back through my journey, without clear teaching on this, but nevertheless true, that if I had received the Spirit and the authority that comes with him to reign in life, now if I stay passive, if I choose to blame, if I maintain a victim mindset, blaming circumstances, or my childhood, or the way I was raised, or the thing that parent should have done that didn't, or that they shouldn't have done that did, or past trauma, or other people's shortcomings and failures on my behalf. Well, then it was on me. I had been given the authority and the power because I had the mask given to me by one who had the authority to transfer that authority. But not, beloved, as a lone ranger. This was my other fault. Not only did I try and make my own mask, but then I thought, me against the world, me against my sin, me against temptation, me against anything that's trying to steal life from me. Do you know this morning, and I hope if you don't, you're going to know it now, and if you already do know it, you're going to be reminded of it now. Do you know that we never reign in life over envy, lust, pride, gluttony, sloth, wrath, greed? Do you know that we never reign in life over anxiety or indifference or apathy or impatience or malice or strife or idolatry or hopelessness or discouragement or depression or any other thing that tries to drag us back into an old man and old way? Do you know we never reign in life by ourselves? Beloved, I don't know where today you're needing to reign in life. I know where I'm needing to reign in life. I don't know in what situation or condition you need to put on the mask of the Holy Spirit. The grace and righteousness of Christ in order to be more than conqueror, to be an overcomer in Christ. I don't know where you're accepting a passive and a blame-filled posture instead of choosing to reign in power and with the authority that's yours in Christ through the one man, Jesus Christ. And I don't know how you plan on leaning into the community of faith more than you've ever done before in order to do that successfully. But I hope you know. And I've been praying for you all week that you would know. Because I'm facing things this week. And you're facing things this week. I might not even get out of the parking lot before I'm facing them. You might not get out of the parking lot before you face them. And if you're not facing them, somebody you love is facing them. And if you're not facing them and someone you love is not facing them, then you're going to face them soon and someone you love is going to face them soon. We need the authority of the Holy Spirit to reign in life because of the abundance of His grace and the righteousness that comes through the one man, Jesus Christ. Don't live a passive, blame-filled life when you don't have to. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank You that You have not left us in that Genesis 3 place. That the sin of Adam is not our destiny. That it's not what we're bound to live by. It's not what we're stuck with. That You have empowered us and authorized us and deputized us through Your Holy Spirit, the free gift of Your righteousness and the abundance of Your grace that we might reign in life. Oh God, would You help us to live like it and to close the gap between that which is true and that by which we are living. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us afresh that we might be people who reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me that we could respond to this good news by declaring and proclaiming out loud along with the church and throughout history what we believe about our God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now, as those who have been given authority, let us come before the Lord in prayer.